Why, thank you, Craig. We are recording. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Memorabilia, a show about the hot and not hot memes. We're Anne and Chris. More specifically, I am Chris.
And I am Anne.
Nice. Good take on that, because I was like, oh, I hope she gets that. throwing to you randomly. This is episode 10. And of course, this will be a snappy hour of an episode, because Anne and I are just falling apart here. At the seams, just coming apart.
I was just telling Chris that I have a huge headache for some reason. That just immediately came on for reasons unknown. So, and we're like just, we are actually falling apart. Chris, like lifted too much?
Yeah, I have a heating pad on my back. I'm using my wife has heating pads because she's pregnant and needs them. I needed her heating pads. Because I'm just old and falling apart and decaying rapidly. And yeah, I did something where I lifted too much at the gym, and now my entire body is revolting against me in one big fit of agony. So
it must be said, do you even lift, bro?
I do not, apparently, according to my body. Not enough, anyway.
And then for me, I'm 99% certain I've contracted coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I was on like way too many planes in the last week, all in areas that have known instances, I guess.
Known patients. Known. Instance would be a word.
Yeah. Yeah.
So guaranteed then. Virtually. Yeah. Virtual mm-hmm. certainty that it's just a matter mm-hmm. of when and now.
Yeah. And then yesterday, I thought it wise to randomly pull weeds from our front yard because we've had kind of a like rainy spell for a little bit, and our landscaping leaves a lot to be desired, and we have people coming over later, and I just didn't want them to see just like how like hillbilly our existence is. So I decided to go into the front yard and pull a bunch of weeds. And so there was a lot of squatting and like lots of like bending over and like trying to like use all of my weight to pull out those really, really like hardy weeds that have deep roots. And now my entire body is sore.
Do you even weed, bro?
I don't. My body is exactly the condition it should be in given my complete lack of physical activity otherwise.
I think my favorite part of that story is that you randomly decided to weed. It struck you. An epiphany happened where you're like, I must weed now. And
yep.
Like the Manchurian candidate, you stood up and you went and you weeded.
I did.
Your body into oblivion.
Yep. And now I only have regrets. I mean, our yard does look marginally better. I mean, I think that's the worst part of it is that like our yard is still a complete disaster. And so like pulling out like a handful of weeds kind of in the mess of our entire front yard is whatever. But
having seen your yard, I could say that our definition of a disaster of a yard is very different.
Well, I mean, everyone else is curated. Thank you. First of all, that does make me feel a little better, but we are the trash yard on the block.
Wow. I mean, you do live in like picturesque suburbia.
Yeah.
So I could see how you feel the competition is high.
Yeah. Fortunately for us, we're at the very end of the street. So we're not like a common stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like not a lot of people are just like randomly passing by. So my quiet embarrassment, it shall remain.
You'll just keep that to yourself and quietly resent your neighbors
yard. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't resent my neighbors. I mean, it's not their fault. Our yard sucks.
It's not their fault. Their shit's together. So if you're detecting a lower energy episode, it might be because we're made of sand and rapidly falling apart before your eyes, before your ears.
I was really thinking, too, that by recording a little later today, like noon, was going to make a difference. But I think my energy is only depleting with every second I'm still awake.
You started at full. It's not like you were going to ramp up, you know, it's
right,
rapidly
right.
declining.
It's only gone down. So on that note, a lot of stuff happened over the last couple weeks.
Tons. Yeah. I mean, besides your travel and my not travel, we had a ton of stuff. We had the Super Bowl. That was an obvious big one.
It did happen.
Did you watch or partake in a festive thing? Why am I speaking like it's my first time on Earth? Did you go to a Super Bowl?
Hello, fellow Earthlings.
Did you partake in the Super Bowl festivities in the big game?
Go team. I did not, but I did watch bits and pieces of it. I was in Austin that day after having worked a long day and caught up with a friend who moved there a couple years ago. And the bar we went to was playing the game. Mm. And so we saw bits and pieces of halftime. We saw the last 4 minutes, which was really a sort of the part to watch anyway.
Yep.
That's fun. And it was a sports game.
That's mm-hmm. good. Yeah, we went to we did a party at our friend's house, and I'm always enamored by how much food can just show up at these things.
Yeah.
I must have eaten, and it's all the best foods too. We're talking like the barbecue sauce meatballs. They're not Swedish meatballs. They're like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They're so good. It's like apparently just grape jelly and barbecue sauce, and my little Totino's pizza roll heart melts every time I see those things. I'm like, this is what catering should be. And then we had the buffalo chicken dip that like I ate, no joke, I could eat 3 pounds of that. I gained 5 pounds in one day. It was pretty impressive.
That is so funny you're talking about buffalo chicken dip. So Josh was keeping me up to date on his goings on while I was out. And his lunch and dinner on Saturday and Sunday consisted only of celery, baby carrots, broccoli, and an entire casserole of buffalo cheese dip that he made for himself, and then that's all he ate.
I love how he three-layered the respectful choices on top of the buffalo chicken dip, you know, like the baby carrots, celery, and broccoli. You're like, wow, this is a really responsible choice. And then buffalo chicken dip, an entire yep. casserole dish.
Yeah.
So he and I are doppelgangers then, because I did the same exact thing. My wife made the buffalo chicken dip and we brought it home. We were those people who took it home. We were like, no, we're not leaving this here.
Leftovers. Yeah, of course.
Oh, well, some people leave them. Like I come from I guess my family is very much the whole, like, you go, you leave whatever you like. I don't care if you bring your kids there, you leave your kids, like whatever, like you leave whatever you bring you to the house, 'cause it's rude to take it. We took it. We were like, no, this is ours now. And it's coming with us. And I put it right on soft shell tacos. I was just like, I was totally shameless. It's nauseating at times, but also if you fight through the cream cheese taste that you get every so often, it was totally worth it. I would highly recommend it.
He had so much left that, or sorry, he had made so much that there were still some left when I returned home on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And that was also a part of my dinner that night.
Oh yeah. Oh, such a good, why is buffalo chicken dip so good? I can't put my finger on it.
Why is it called that? Why is it called buffalo?
Oh, I learned about this. Okay. So, buffalo is actually not the sauce style, although some people call it the sauce style. It's actually the wing style. And the key is buffalo wings are not breaded, which is big, and they have wing sauce on them. But like buffalo chicken just became synonymous with hot wings and or like the tangy sauce wing.
Yeah.
But I got into a huge debate about this because my wife's from Rochester. Her mother they were all in the upstate New York area where the buffalo wing was invented. And so we went toe-to-toe on, is a buffalo wing fried or not, or has breading? And I was like, yeah, of course it has breading. She's like, no, it doesn't. Like, that's the whole point. And so we got like in this huge argument, and of course I lost. So the buffalo wing is just a wing that is not breaded, that has like tangy wing sauce on it. But like that tang has become the like synonymous for buffalo sauce. Buffalo chicken dip has that tangy wing sauce flavor to it. It's got like the Frank's Red Hot with butter and we use cream cheese in ours, but there's variations on it. So it makes it like a nice hot and savory, tangy treat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you. I learned a lot.
No problem. this is becoming an NPR. We're so like respectful and it's good conversation. So the big game spawned some big memes though, which is the whole point of this podcast. Call an Ambulance. Now this one is a personal favorite of mine. If you don't know Call an Ambulance, it is what I can only describe as a late 80s, early 90s looking horrible government funded PSA on some sort of Second Amendment rights thing, where a gentleman is mugged at his car, and the mugger takes out a knife and in this horribly acted PSA fashion and goes, "Give me your money," or whatever, or your wallet. And then the gentleman who's being mugged fakes like a heart attack or something or a stomach problem. And he goes, "Oh, call an ambulance." And he pulls out a gun and he goes, "But not for me." And like they abruptly cut it in true meme fashion from there. But that has become a exploitable image macro, which I've learned about, where you can caption that the man holding a gun at the mugger and saying, "Call an ambulance, but not for me." So for the big game, that kind of became synonymous with Kansas City's whole comeback victory, where they were down to San Fran late in the game, came storming back. So the big meme that came out of that one was "Call an ambulance." Kansas City was "Call an ambulance, but not for me" to San Fran, which was kind of running wild over the internet after that.
Can I submit a minor correction or note?
Please.
So I'm looking at the still frame mm-hmm. of that meme that you just described. I think this might be a lot more recent.
You think?
Yeah, because I'm looking at the top frame, which is the 2010 49ers Chiefs, and it says "Call the Ambulance." Mm-hmm. That vehicle is a fairly modern car.
Interesting. Well, so it was posted on August 30th, 2018. But just because it was posted then, I don't know that it is always, because some people dig up old stuff. So I'm not sure. It looks grainy.
Yeah, because it's a bad video. I don't think it has anything to do with it being like shot in the 80s or 90s or whatever. Like someone just like, you know, shot it on their like iPhone 3.
Oh, I have it. I have it. Okay. So this was posted on August 30th, 2018 by the page Las Vegas Gunfights under the title "Call an Ambulance." The clip comes from a Silver Series self-defense advertisement that's a workshop class for Las Vegas residents over the age of 65. So I didn't actually read into it that much, but I guess we can say it is recent, and we can say it was from it's not a government funded, but it was definitely a PSA workshop class for residents over the age of 65 who are hopefully, I guess, carrying guns in this case, because this gentleman stops this mugger with a gun. So not gonna be able to call an ambulance, but not for you if you don't have that gun in that knife fight. I hope I didn't misspeak by framing it as this is definitely from the 80s or 90s. I said it looks as though, I thought I said, someone can go back and verify this and easily get me on this, but it looks as though it was made in the 80s or 90s.
That's fair.
It's grainy. It's horribly shot and really like not strong acting. I feel bad because like if they were trying, I'll feel like I'm not trying.
Of course they were trying.
You think? It's like there's a chance they were volunteering and just having like a gaffe, you know, like, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll do that video that you're trying to shoot for that silver defense."
I don't. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm very sorry to the actors who were trying their best. I'm sure. It became a meme though, and because of that, I hope they can laugh.
Blessings.
With it.
Yeah.
Blessings. Anyway, so call an ambulance. Kansas City turned that gun around on that knife fight with San Fran and took him down.
That's what I wanted to say, is that guy, the assailant, really brought a knife to a gunfight.
Literally. Quite literally.
Yeah. He goofed.
But he didn't know he was in a gunfight until the guy pulled the gun in that epic call an ambulance moment.
Yeah.
"But not for me." Oh, the one liner is perfect. So anyway, but that wasn't the only stuff to come out of Super Bowl had a lot of memes. We were originally gonna be like, "Oh, it seemed pretty light." We were like, "Oh boy, it was not light."
Yeah,
at all.
We were actually just very ignorant. So what struck me as interesting about the Super Bowl, a few things. One, the ratio to Super Bowl, like the game itself, related memes to Super Bowl adjacent or like not football related memes, very unbalanced. Overwhelmingly, it's about Shakira, J-Lo, and the ads, and a very minor fraction about the game itself. But I did notice lots of SpongeBob. SpongeBob showed up a lot in the memes.
SpongeBob is just universally applicable. Have they just transcended, transcended space and time at this point? They're just now woven in the fabric of our universe?
Probably.
They have to be one of the longest running meme images, right?
I mean, I just don't see how you can be a show for 20 years, especially be a show for the generation, I would say, who kind of created the meme. You know what I mean? Like, you and I grew up during the SpongeBob, I don't know.
Era?
Yeah. And so, you know, knowing that we sort of grew up. Yeah, we're about the same age.
I didn't watch SpongeBob much. I watched it as an adult because I'm a child, but I don't think I grew up with it.
Didn't SpongeBob start while we were in like middle school? No.
It was like high school for me, I think.
Okay, well, while we sort out the history of...
So 1999. So I was in ninth grade when it came out.
Okay, I was in eighth.
Okay. So yeah, I guess like right on the cusp for sure. Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of, I think that when surreal children's programming became a thing, right? Where it's like somehow Nickelodeon got away with basically having stoner content for children, right?
That was definitely adult-ish humor, but like spun as a children's show.
Right. Like a Ren and Stimpy sort of situation, right? So there was there's an account called NFL Memes on Twitter, NFL_memes, said the fourth quarter of Super Bowl. What number Super Bowl was this?
54, I believe.
Is that what LIV is?
50 is L, so IV is 4.
Okay, yeah, great. 54. I was like, oh man, I don't know.
Roman numerals.
Give me just regular
L's numerals. Like, L's like 30 or 20. I don't know. You can add them up.
I didn't know L was 5. So that was on me. Thanks for teaching me stuff.
It's not 5.
Or 50. Sorry. That's what I mean. Hey, okay. Moving on from Roman numerals. It was, it's a 3 images with fourth quarter with about 12 minutes left in the game. There was a quick shot from the live footage of the 49ers 20-10. They were kind of celebrating, getting pretty excited. And then, of course, the next image is the SpongeBob 10 minutes later. And then it's with 1:02 on the clock, fourth quarter, an image of player 97, head in hands, hat off, like visibly like stressed out, teammates with hands on the shoulder. And that is a perfect use of that SpongeBob meme. But there was another one. The Kansas City Chiefs coach. Do you know his name? I don't honestly know anything.
Andy Reid.
There was someone who had posted also on Twitter. Y'all can't tell me you don't see it. It's a picture of Andy Reid on the left, you know, suited up during the game. And then on the right, an image of SpongeBob dressed as a sports coach. But the outfit is uncanny. SpongeBob is also wearing all red. Although the hat is different, he's wearing a blue hat. He has a mustache and he's also pointing. He's pointing just as Andy Reid is also pointing in the image.
Oh, nailed it.
Nailed it. It really is a double take. Additional SpongeBob related memes with there was the Shakira tongue wag.
Yes.
She was That was a very memeable hot.
That was a memeable. Yeah, you could people are reusing that for a lot in their lives, and they all have the play button still on them too. Like they're all GIFs. There's not a. They all have full sound of her doing the noise. I don't know what that is. That what's that noise called?
So she's half Colombian, half Lebanese.
Mm-hmm.
The I'm going to mispronounce it, but in Arab cultures, it's called a zagruta. It's a vocal kind of, I don't know how else to compare it, almost like a yodel.
It's a skill for sure. Yeah.
But others are also saying that you might also find it in Colombia, because there's also like a carnival type, the place she's from is called Barranquilla, and there's a carnival that's held in her hometown, and which that is also a frequent like vocal affectation or vocal skill. So wow. People say that that's actually her blending her like multicultural heritage and as a part of her performance. But of course, people thought it was sensational and all manner of memes surfaced. So another SpongeBob related meme, this was also an image macro meme. It is a, I think I remember what episode of SpongeBob this is from, but it's when he's trying to catch jellyfish. And there's like this frame of him where his like mouth becomes sort of almost like a funnel and his tongue sticks out of it and like wildly like spins about.
Yeah, he's doing the call.
And so the meme is victory screech, nobody, Shakira, and then it's SpongeBob with the tongue.
Doing the tongue wag.
There was another one where SpongeBob is doing like a victory dance and he's like on his knees doing like the finger pointing thing. And he's looking up into the sky and his tongue is doing that like whirly thing his character does. And above it, it says Shakira Super Bowl 54 halftime performance. So lots of SpongeBob. There's one with Patrick Starr. So several SpongeBob appearances. Also, am I misremembering, but wasn't there also a SpongeBob reference a few Super Bowls ago during the halftime show? Like, didn't he do a Super Bowl cameo?
SpongeBob, yeah, they did a like a call out to his song. You put me on the spot now. I can't remember his song. But there was like an epic sports anthem that was in SpongeBob.
Yeah. And they like recreated it.
And they recreated it as part of Sweet Victory. Sweet Victory is the name of the song that was performed in SpongeBob during, like, he's in a marching band as like, and he performs this epic ballad to like help the team kind of deal. And so everyone petitioned to get SpongeBob into it. And I think it wasn't during the national anthem, obviously that'd be totally rude. But it was during they play Sweet Victory instead of the national anthem. During last year's halftime performance with Maroon 5, they like threaded Sweet Victory into like the intro sequence, if I remember correctly. But it was like a very light call out. And some people, like, it was one of those moments where half of the world was like, oh my God, we got it into the Super Bowl. And the other half was like, why'd you tease us like this and do a half-assed job with presenting the song?
Right,
deal?
Right.
So it was the whole you can't please everyone kind of vibe. But
so I wonder if the SpongeBob references then with this one is also a callback to the fact that SpongeBob had a pretty, you know, had a presence,
had a moment,
in a previous Super Bowl. And so I wonder if it is the new normal to include SpongeBob, as many SpongeBob memes in
maybe
Super Bowl.
Maybe they're now becoming synonymous with the Super Bowl because they got them into the Super Bowl,
right?
Which could make sense. I think for me, my favorite takeaway from the favorite memes coming out of the J-Lo Shakira world is like how obviously incredibly athletic and awesome they look at 43 and 50 years old, and like some of the the pictures or like the split screen memes coming out of that are like Shakira and J-Lo at 43 and 50 years, and it's just them looking fierce on stage, you know, during like their like epic shot. And then it's like me at 20 years and it's like a Life Alert commercial with a person down on the ground flailing around, you know, just ragdolling.
It's like really messed up. Like how incredible. I mean, I get it. A part of it is like their careers sort of put them in a position to take care of themselves such in a way that maybe the vast majority of plebs like us don't.
Yeah, but so did like Andrea Bocelli, and I wouldn't say he's like a picture of an athletic endurance.
Well,
you know
what? If we're going to start getting into gender expectations, we can go there.
Well, no, I wasn't going to pit women versus women in a looks off, you know?
No, not women versus women, but Andrea Bocelli, right? That's his name?
Bocelli.
Yeah, the opera singer we're talking about, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but like he's
No, Andrea Bocelli, the
race car driver. But the thing
is, Andrea Bocelli does look good for his age. And I'm looking at him. I picked someone at random. I was like, I picked the wrong person. He looks good for his age. Good for
him. But the thing is, I think you and I can both agree that the pressures put on women to not age and the ability for men, like the capability that men can age like really differently.
They somehow become more appealing as they get grosser and older.
Yeah, or I don't even know that it's more appealing. It's just their appeal doesn't change, right? Like, you know, when you consider like that kind of lazy sitcom trope where dowdy, unfit, unattractive men can always somehow score this like impossibly beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Oh, it's super unfair. But I think it is. They become quote unquote more appealing with it. Like that salt and pepper hair look and stuff. There are so many things that compare men, older versions of themselves to younger versions of themselves. Oh, sure. And the older ones are more desirable or in some,
yeah.
I don't know how, but yes, I do see that double standard very much so.
Yeah. So
J-Lo and Shakira's vampiric appearance, vampiric youth.
There's some sort of fountain that they're extracting.
They left that and went to like a bowl full of whatever, like some sort of concoction, and they drink from the bowl and like a light shoots out from it, right, and envelops them, and that gives them more youth.
So what you're saying is From Dusk Till Dawn is actually a documentary.
It's a documentary. Which, by the way, Salma Hayek also is another person who ages incredibly well.
Yep I've seen Death Becomes Her. I know how that works.
Yes, Shakira, J-Lo, killing it in the meme world. But mostly, I think it's mostly out of support for how awesome their performance was and how ridiculously fierce they are. The other flip side of that coin is the lack of Pitbull during a Miami performance.
There was a very... Oh, can I interrupt you?
Go.
There was a meme I came across. I don't know if it was in the listicle that I read, but it was a two image macro meme. And on the left, again, it's SpongeBob. It was Squidward like peeking through the blinds. Like it's like back shot of Squidward's head looking through blinds. And then the next image to the right is Shakira and J-Lo on stage. And it says Pitbull during Super Bowl halftime.
Yep, that is exactly one of the ones. It's like him looking through like a grating, and I guess it is his blinds. Yeah, it's like him watching J Lo and Shakira during the halftime show. There's
that
also
is surprising.
The one. Eric... What?
That he wasn't there.
Yeah, so the internet community latched onto that, obviously, because as they are wont to do. So the ones coming out of that area are. John Cena looking incredibly defeated, like in an empty arena, just staring down at the floor kind of deal. And then a zoom in translucent face of him looking pensive as well, flip side. It was like Pitbull after being left out of the halftime show in Miami. It's just like him in a dark arena staring at the floor kind of deal. There's also the Eric Andre shaking at the gates of the White House, screaming, let me in kind of deal. That one has made its way back. So Pitbull being left out as a, is it a miss though? I don't know if Mr. Worldwide is necessarily adds anything to that show. Although he did do a song, they did do one of his songs, J-Lo's song, right? Has him in it.
Oh yeah. I think also Pitbull is, I think his time has come and gone.
But I mean, that could have been argued with Shakira and J-Lo. I think
no
that argument.
I can't speak. No, because Shakira's, you know, been in the spotlight because of Zootopia, and I mean, I guess that's still like a 4-year-old movie. Well, okay, J-Lo just released an album. She was in one or two movies last year. She like hosted SNL. So I don't think, I mean,
she's pervasive throughout the culture.
Shakira is interesting. Although maybe this could be a play because she's working on new projects, whatever. But I do think the NFL relatedly is also having to rehab its image somewhat in regards to treatment of women. Not like professionally, but just sort of the pervasive domestic issues.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're also trying to sort of make, my guess is that they're trying to reestablish a more inclusive image of women.
That makes sense. I mean, from what it seems, I personally was like, when I saw the docket of Shakira and J-Lo, I'm like, wow, what year is it? 2001. The performance was awesome. I was like, holy shit, this is a really damn good performance. And I think largely it was received with accolades.
Totally. There were tons of fanfare. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, to be honest, I thought Maroon 5 last year was a very odd halftime performance choice.
Yeah. And like until they performed, I was like, oh, they're carving out this niche of going with like whoever was famous, not who is famous. Right. But like, dude, Shakira and J-Lo shut me right up, man. They killed it. But yeah, Maroon 5 did not kill it. Like,
yeah, it was very strange. So moving from Super Bowl, the game / halftime were the commercials, which many people tune in for. There is a new baby character on the scene, which is sweeping the internet. There was a Mr. Peanut commercial. Let me set the scene.
Okay.
So it is a funeral where someone is presiding over, saying, you know, gone too soon. There's kind of a pan across the attendees of the funeral, and it is an iconic character or mascot of different brands. Kool-Aid Man, Mr. Clean, someone else that I can't remember, and like some people.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid Man sheds a tear, and the tear splashes onto the mound, you know, presumably where Mr. Peanut was buried. And then suddenly there was a sprout that comes up, and there's a tiny baby peanut that comes out with
adorably
this little CG peanut. They don't even make an attempt to make it look photorealistic, by the way. None of the mascots that were in there in person, they were still their true like CG cartoon form in this like photorealistic setting. So the baby peanut emerges, and one of the attendees goes, "Oh my God, is that a baby nut?" And that's what he's referred to. He's called Baby Nut.
Baby Nut.
And oh, also, they picked up Baby Nut, or they approached Baby Nut, I can't remember. And the noise that Baby Nut makes is like the dolphin, like, like that noise. Which is super weird, but funny. And it has this just really surreal quality. Highly recommend watching it. There's even like a moment at the end where they pick up Baby Nut, like Simba style. Like,
I'm so happy to karaoke that song one day.
We should. We have to do it.
We have to do that.
Great. It's a date.
Done. Sold.
So
can I offer some clarification? It's Mr. Peanut's funeral they're at, right?
I believe yes. That is my understanding.
It is Mr. Peanut's funeral. So Mr. Peanut, they're killing him off as a mascot and then introducing a baby nut, which I can already see where the internet is going with this. Because now we have two babies on the scene that are adorable between Yoda and Baby Nut.
So there's it seems that Baby Nut is a polarizing figure because some are actually just disturbed by it from what I can tell.
Really?
It's
pretty cute.
But of course, immediately Baby Yoda has some competition. There was another one that...
He's kind of creepy, actually, now that I'm looking at it. He is a little disturbing. He's half peanut shell, half lacrosse ball smooth, and it's really weird. And I don't know why they took that direction.
It's interesting. Like he's sort of, yeah, you're right. I didn't even catch that he's sort of like partially lumpy.
Like choose what you want him to be. It's like partially rendered.
He does have like a baby Yoda appearance though, right? Huge eyeballs.
Very anime child appearance. Like the doe eyes.
I mean, I think that's the given baby appearance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Sort of tiny face, huge eyeballs. It's science, I guess. There's probably some crazy focus group.
There actually is. But okay, can we just talk about how oddly old his hands are? Have you seen his hands?
Yeah,
his hands are like incredibly defined, like skeletal hands.
Yeah, they're not chunky hands for sure. They're not.
No, they're not. And they're vascular. Like you can see the veins in them. It's really weird. It's really weird. I don't know if you can see that image of like the gentleman holding him.
Yeah, I mean, I can see him. I'm just not like as weirded out about it as you are, I guess.
Oh, his hands are way too old for his body.
Oh, I think Baby Nut's cute. But so one, I'm sorry, listeners. We keep talking over each other and we try to be better about that. But our capacities, our faculties are really limited. So sorry. I try to also just a peek behind the curtain, try to edit out whenever we talk over each other, which is constantly. And so you imagine the work required to produce these episodes after the fact is immense.
If only we were a little, by we, I mean I, if only I was a little bit better at not talking over you.
Yeah. Or each other. I mean, we're mutually talking over.
Thank you for all you do for this show.
Hey, you too. This is a two team sport. Or two
go
higher.
On.
Team.
I just have to call back earlier because listening to you try and describe the Kansas City Chiefs memes, like I didn't want to interject, but you said player 97 like it was some dystopian society.
I don't know his name. That's why
it was just very funny. So you said player 97, then you said sports coach dressed like a sports coach or something of the ilk when Andy Reid, like you were like SpongeBob also dressed as a sports coach, which is just like. It was like Martian's first time on Earth experiencing sports ball.
That's literally what it's like for me to watch sports.
It's very endearing.
That's how my brain thinks about sports.
Player 97 is taking a knee.
So, yeah, there's... Yeah, Baby Nut really took the cake.
Took off.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other ones, but it doesn't matter. Baby Nut, I think, was the most sort of surreal, like the most kind of crazy or unexpected meme.
Yeah.
I think from the
Super Bowl. And it really is rooted in the Baby Nut versus Baby Yoda, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If
yep.
I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
That whole thing. Yeah, so I mean, we had the game itself, we had the halftime performance, we had commercials. This was that was a big meme event. And here we were gonna go into the saying, not much came out of the Super Bowl. Look at us go! But that wasn't the only thing that happened. The Super Bowl in the past couple of weeks, we had a lot of politics spinning up too. The Iowa caucuses, the impeachment. There were a lot of things to talk about. And I know you have a personal favorite out of the politics space here because
it has
taken the world by storm. The man, the myth, the legend, Bernie Sanders.
The one and only. So our favorite crazy uncle himself. So before we get into the Bernie memes, which there are plenty because Bernie is an incredibly memeable human. There was, I don't know if it's gotten memed. I'm sure it has. But the video that's making the rounds is of Nancy Pelosi ripping up. Like her copy of the speech, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Oh yeah.
So after
when you're just done with whatever, yeah.
And she just stood and like the frame is fixed, like you know she's right behind him. People are clapping, and she just stands up and just starts ripping the pages in half. And it's there is something just really one badass. That I mean, okay. Mm. I have a lot of feelings about this actually. There's a certain level of. The decorum has completely shattered in our politics, right? I think we can agree that like kind of all sides are really dropping the ball
here, professionalism has flown the coop.
Yes, it is. It is not. It has become a circus, right? In every sense of the word. Having said that, I do hugely commend her for just her brazen display of just like decaf. Like, I
knowing
just, like,
full well she's on camera too. Like, she knew what she was doing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Probably did it specifically because she knew she was in the frame. But I think there is something just really relatable of a woman sort of just being done with, like specifically for a woman, just like having that look on her face, being like, I am done with this shit. I am not paid enough to deal with this. This is nonsense. I'm going to have a glass of wine at home. Like, I've had so many days where what she is doing is how I feel inside. Right. That sort of call it the void of like, oh, I'm gonna just do this, right.
Ooh, yeah.
And calling back.
What's the French?
L'appel du vide.
Oh, damn. What a word. What a phrase. Go France.
What if we call it like l'appel du mime? The call.
Ooh, oh, wow. That is great.
Next episode.
Can we rebrand? Can we get Chris Reed on the horn for $20 and say, hey, Chris, full rebrand needed.
We actually, l'appel du mime.
L'appel du mime.
Chef's kiss.
It's a highbrow.
Okay, so moving on from Pelosi. But
before you move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, before you move on. I think like for me, not as relatable, obviously, from the woman standpoint, but I think in general, it is the universal like Friday at 4 p.m. feeling too, where you're like, nah, you know what? I'm done. I'm over this. It's out. I'm out. Welcome weekend. I'll take as long as I need, which I think was like universally relatable for the internet community, because a lot of people were making this the new. There is the you remember those e-cards where they draw like 1950s style wholesome animations, but with like really vulgar modern thought process. So there's one where there's this person throwing their papers in the air, and it's like, well, looks like it's F this shit o'clock. So like, it was very much that I have found it is taking that spot in the world where everyone's like ripping up their papers at 4 p.m. on Friday kind of vibe too.
Yep.
But yeah.
So on that note, move into Bernie. Feeling the burn.
Feeling the burn for sure.
So at the end, I believe the time frame is it's the end of December, and Bernie has a campaign video that made the rounds where he basically is asking for additional funding, more donors, more contributors. And there's a part where, and I'm going to summon my most Bernie voice that I can muster. I am once again asking for your financial support.
I'm once again asking for your financial support.
That was really good. It was like appropriately breathy.
Yeah, he's very breathy.
Once again, I know that's too strained. It's like
it's from the diaphragm.
Yeah, I can't do it. You did it though.
I'm once again asking for your financial support.
Support.
Yeah, he's got like a weird like Brooklyn-ish kind of vibe to his talking.
He is from Brooklyn, isn't he?
Is he? He has a twang to him. I don't know if it's Brooklyn or not, but he has like, I take my Long Island accent and I apply a breathiness and elderly tone to it.
That's perfect. So he's asking for, you know, more financial support, but of course the internet, being who the internet is, decides to meme it, turn it into an image macro, basically displaying all the ways in which you would basically beg for money. So the one of them is showing up to my parents after spending another month's rent on weed and EDM festivals.
I'm once again asking for your financial support. That's perfect.
One of my other favorites, the girl from high school who is advertising her pyramid scheme on Facebook.
We've all experienced that one. We've all experienced that.
Some really good ones. Not personal experiences, but then it went into talking about either, like, there were a few, like, software. So EA games every 0.3 seconds.
I'm once again asking for your financial support.
And then one of my faves.
Go on.
Bring up. Please. Aragorn visits Rohan after failing to create an effective tax policy, and Bernie is photoshopped with Aragorn's tiara.
The crown.
Yeah.
The crown of the king. Oh, it's perfect. I do love the nobody blank YouTubers with Patreon. I'm once again asking for your financial support. There's so many go me trying to open a zip file WinRAR.
It's so accurate. Yeah, every time it's like, we can't do this without your financial support. Oh, also another reference, if it's not been memed, any public radio station, like public
any
park,
public
like,
radio
any station. Public yep. Yeah,
PBS, yep. Like any public broadcast, yes. Honestly, yes. They're all
Wikipedia.
I'm once again asking for your financial support. It really is. We've all been in that spot where we're like, hey, I need some help. This meme really captures all of them perfectly. Both the greedy corporate side, the individual side, the irresponsible side. Perfect.
It's perfect. It can be personal. It can be corporate. There were also sort of the ones that you had brought up, Chris, which were they took the phrase, but then just blacked out letters or yes. words to spell other things.
So it seems to be very common in the internet world when a meme catches fire, there is a time to absurdity where eventually it will be copied too many times. And so people then start taking it and like perverting that copy a little bit more and more and more. So we have seen things like I am once again asking for your fingernails and like financial support. Blacked out. It's just Bernie's face with I'm once again asking for your fingernails. Then we've seen entirely edited captions that are just I am at soup.
Yes.
I am at soup, and it's Bernie in a soup aisle at what appears to be a grocery store of any
it
kind.
It makes no sense either. Like the whole thing
yeah,
is
it
absurd.
Just goes absurd.
There's another one that is a manipulated version of the meme where they basically chop up Bernie's face like multiple times, make it looking like he starts. So it says me talking to my crush for the first time. I'm asking you on a date. So it's chopped
I'm
up.
I'm asking you on a date is a thing, is the, but they have the stammering
yes,
in there.
The stammering. So it's cut up to indicate a stammer. And there's a listener provided version of this meme, so it became a meme-cepted meme.
Oh.
When asked for your financial support and get money by memes, colon, it is the frame with Bernie, but then it is the meme man from the Stonks meme.
Oh, wow.
Photoshopped over Bernie's face, and it says, I am once again asking for your Stonks support.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty good. And so for those of you who don't know what Stonks is, it's a very like it's considered a surrealist image macro, if I mm-hmm. remember correctly.
It's like the deep meme community where yeah, Stonks go up kind of deal. And it's basically the internet world making fun of business world and as they are wont to do, becoming absurd with it and making incredibly I think this is a staple of like the meme community is making incredibly poorly yet skillfully drawn 3D models of things that are like so the people that they draw are creepy looking 3D like 90s bowling alley animation kind of models.
Perfect.
You know,
yes.
And then they have poorly written words to match those, so Stonks being stocks going up. That's the whole thing.
It is the whole thing. And my last contribution to the I am once again asking for your financial support because this is personally significant to me. There is a frame of, oh crap, did I close it? One second. My tab management leaves a lot to be desired. Okay, well, I can remember it because it is actually not it is not a manipulated version of the screenshot from Bernie, but it is using the, I am once again asking for financial support. It is a screen grab of Tom Nook from Animal Crossing. And it appears to be not Photoshopped because it says, I am once again asking for more bells.
Oh, wow. That's really in your wheelhouse.
It is. Oh, there it is. Oh no, I found it. Sorry. It was on my last tab. It is filed under I'm once again asking for your financial support, but it is a frame of our favorite extortion raccoon boss, Trash Panda.
Can you explain Tom Nook for people who don't play Animal Crossing? Because I don't play Animal Crossing, but I know who Tom Nook is. He's a very famous Nintendo character. Yes.
So Animal Crossing, there are only three games that I really care about. Full stop. Portal, Kingdom Hearts, Animal Crossing.
What about World of Warcraft? Weren't you a World of Warcraft fan too?
Yeah, but I don't have like the devotion to it.
Deep care. Okay.
Yeah. Like if there's no, I guess to put it more simply, all other games except those three could cease to exist and I would be fine.
Okay. These are games that complete you as a person.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
So Tom Nook is a very key, everything in the Animal Crossing. So I guess you would consider Animal Crossing technically a sim game in the sense mm-hmm. that it is a perpetual clock, meaning the seasons come and go, like the time passes, even if whether or not you're in the game playing. And there was a recurring character named Tom Nook, who's, for lack of a better word, a shark, a lone shark. Not a his form factor is a raccoon, but his spirit is that of a shark. He completely he extorts us for money constantly. The money in the game is called bells, and you are essentially in debt to him forever. And just as you pay off a loan from him, he saddles you with even greater debt than the last debt you had just repaid. It is a never-ending cycle.
Do you get anything for this debt?
Yeah. So basically, the way it's set up is Tom Nook runs the entire town.
Okay.
And think of him as sort of like a aristocrat where, you know, he owns kind of like the land and you can buy a house from him and he'll build it. But now okay. you owe money to him to pay off your house and yep. you pay off your house. So you pay it off and he goes, hey, thanks for paying it off. I've just upgraded your house to two levels, but you don't have to pay me back right away. Like you don't have a choice.
Okay, he's just going to go off the handle and go rogue essentially with your money and spend it.
Constantly, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
With
thanks,
like
Tom.
Really no, yeah. With really no, having said that, to Tom's credit, he doesn't have a deadline. You can pay him back whatever you want. There's no interest. But it is basically the game's money sink mechanic so that you can't just have like limitless money, essentially.
He is rated the 80th best villain in video games, Tom Nook.
He is, because he's cute, but a shark. So the screen grab from the game is, I am once again asking you for your bells, and it doesn't appear photoshopped or manipulated. It seems like a genuine image. And
an actual rip from the game.
Perfect
Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.
Nice.
So I thought that was a really, really good call out. But adjacent to these memes, as a part of that Stonks Bernie crossover, I have also noticed a resurgence of a different kind of stock meme.
Ooh.
It became popular 2018, sort of a reaction meme. It's from a clip of, I think, like an internet, kind of like an influencer, like a YouTube influencer. And it's the guy's name is John Tron. I don't really know what the content is of his channel, but there's a very popular meme of his face, but it's sort of Photoshop and manipulated where his face is sort of scrunched up and he's pointing and he looks sort of derpy. And it's always captioned with, I'll take your entire stock. Are you familiar with this, Chris?
No.
Okay, let me send you the link real quick. John Tron, yeah.
Okay.
Just look
up. John Tron.
I'll take your entire stock.
I'll take your entire... Okay. Oh, I know John Tron. I didn't know his name, but he's like a very famous internet personality.
Right.
I'll take your entire stock. Here we go.
And I've seen this recently.
Okay. It's a video.
It is a video, but it turned into an image macro because people manipulated his face to make it look all scrunched up and derp.
So I'll take your entire stock is in reference to not stock market, though. It's the entire stock of a product, right?
Right, a quantity of something. So recently there was a article that was making the rounds about how there are puppies that flunk out of like TSA school or whatever for being too friendly. Yeah, puppies like, look out for being too sweet, and then the response to that is, "I'll take your entire stock." because they get put up to a for adoption. That's why. That's the story.
Yeah,
you can adopt the pups that fail out
the failed TSA pups.
Yeah,
which means they're too kind.
They're too sweet. Yeah,
they have to be way more professional, stoic, and potentially angry.
I don't think they have to be angry, but I think they just have to listen. And maybe these ones are too, just like they're too friendly and they do show up. On a related note regarding very puppy animals.
Very puppy animals.
Related to very friendly animals. We were at Disneyland or something. This was a few weeks ago. And the dog's handler was holding on to the dog, and the woman was ordering something at like a counter booth or whatever. And she's in training to be a seeing eye or like an assisted, you know, a service dog. And I know that you are not supposed to pet them. And so I maintained a respectful distance from the dog. But I acknowledged the dog and I looked at the dog in the eyes and I said, "Hi, cutie." And the dog approached me and I was like, and I like panicked because I didn't want to get in trouble. And then the lady turned around, she's like, "Hey, you're not supposed to do that." And I'm like, "I'm sorry. I didn't want the dog to get out." She's like, "No, I'm not mad at you. The dog," like, she knows she's not supposed to do that. Like, that's the whole point of the training. But I was like, "No, I got this sweet pup in trouble." Just because I felt
never
so bad.
Never say hi to a dog. Ever.
You're
going to get them in trouble. Now, like, I hope they don't do anything to try and correct that. Like, do they correct that?
Of course they do. Because it's not supposed
to. That's sad. It's like killing a part of the dog. You know, that's a natural thing. Like, it feels as though if a dog is going to be friendly, they're trying to curb the impulse to be friendly.
No, that's not what they're curbing. They're curbing the impulse to curb their impulse. that's what
I guess they are
correct.
So friendly.
Yeah, they're so friendly. The dog's supposed to know is that, like,
they're professional,
right? And they're always going to be over. There's always going to be something that's going to stimulate the dog, and the dog has to have the discipline to know that is not a stimuli that I'm going to react to. Right? The only thing I react to is when my person needs my help or needs assistance. Right? They need to be extra vigilant. They need to be very focused on the task at hand. But if you're willing to just get kind of sidetracked just because someone said, "Hey, cutie," to them, that's an issue, right? In terms of like the person they're trying to look after. So I get it, but I just was like, no.
Yeah.
They're so sweet.
Now, like, I hope they're not like Clockwork Oranging them back at the lab, you know, like Rover had two breaks today. Show him 10 more minutes of that footage of, I don't know, war.
No, that lady was very nice. I think that dog, I mean, the fact that that dog was friendly, I think actually says a lot about the conditions she's probably in. I mean, she was being incredibly trained at loving. Disneyland.
Yeah, it's true. And like, I know there's my next door neighbor at my old place used to adopt retired like police dogs or TSA certified dogs, guide dogs, etc. And they were just the kindest animals. They're incredibly disciplined. So it is, like you said, they're super disciplined, incredibly good listeners, just the kindest, sweetest, gentle animals ever. So I was making a joke. I'm sure they treat them very well. I'm not trying to start a thing, but also maybe they do Clockwork Orange then.
No. The world's already stressful and sad enough. I really don't want to think about this like dystopian dog training.
Dog training. Also, I could use some of that discipline in my life too, because if someone says, "Hey, cutie," to me, I'm definitely going to go say hi. Like, "Hi, how are you?" I'm going to wave to them and be an idiot. I have no discipline. I eat all of the buffalo wing dip in front of me, the buffalo chicken dip in front of me. No discipline. I could use that training. Do they do that for humans?
Yeah, I think it's called the gym.
Well, therapy. We know that doesn't work out for me.
So we are hitting that hour mark. Do we want to talk about what? Yeah, we have. According to Craig, we started at 12:53.
5. Oh, wow.
So we are exactly at the hour. Yeah.
Look at us go.
Do we want to talk one more meme or do we just, I feel like we're leaving it on a pretty good note.
I mean, FirePods is just so funny though. I really want.
Oh no, we should talk about FirePods. Okay.
The world. So I'll keep it lightning round. So before we go, in late January, Redditor Free Vegetable posted an observation that Tide Pods and AirPods had become popular memes in the previous two Januaries. So January 2017, January 2018, we had Tide Pods and AirPods, respectively. That led them to suggest that humans are awesome. That led them to suggest that FirePods would be the meme in 2020 and EarthPods would be the meme in 2021, thus getting all of the elements in order. So now, as a self-fulfilling prophecy, FirePods have become a thing, and they found a portable pizza oven called a FirePod and an audio interface called a FirePod that now everyone is making into a meme to make this prophecy come true, because everyone wants our lives to be Avatar, I guess.
But I was just going to make an Avatar joke. And for those, we're not talking about Avatar, the James Cameron franchise. We are talking about Avatar, The Last Airbender. The animated franchise.
Yes, precisely. And so there are a ton of FirePod memes out there, but they're incredibly obviously shoehorned memes. They're not like phenomenal. Like some of them are just, I don't want to flex on y'all, but this guy just got himself a FirePod portable pizza oven. Like just straight up trying to call out that these things exist, which by the way, the FirePod pizza oven, I'm sure is loving this life. Could you have struck a better lottery? I don't think so. But yeah, so FirePod pizza oven coming to a Facebook near you for sure. Here we are.
Oh, there is a FirePod. There are two. These are callbacks to previous episodes, Chris. So it's with, oh my gosh. Why do we do this every time where we're trying to, our recall is awful.
What do you
mean? Character's name, Patrick Warburton's character from
Krunk.
Krunk.
Right?
Krunk. Krunk.
Krunk.
K-R-O-N-K.
I think it's Krunk. Yeah.
Krunk. When you have AirPods, Tide Pods, and the FirePod pizza oven, oh yeah, it's all coming together.
Yeah, exactly. Calling them grills, and it's like the FirePod with a tear under its grill face, I guess, and then calling them FirePods is the same image but on fire now, because indicating that it's such a better name for it, for a grill. The prophecy is complete. The prophecy is complete. Water, air, fire, and now earth pods have been located. So they found earth pods too for setting up 2021.
Oh my gosh, I love the strategic planning. Split.
Yeah, so good.
There's a witch.
It's just the internet at its finest.
Have you seen the Witcher image macro?
No.
For this? So it is the three scenes where Geralt goes after like that goat man or whatever.
It looks like
that
a
scene?
Fawn.
The fawn, yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth or whatever.
Yes, the actual fawn though, not the naked man.
Oh, it's Sylvan. It says it right in the first caption.
I'm Torque the Sylvan, a rare intelligent creature. The next frame is, the fire pod is better than a normal pizza oven. And the girl says, you are intelligent. I'll give you that.
End of meme. Perfect.
That's
meme.
The meme. And also, as a general aside, that last frame of Geralt in this angle looks very much like John Travolta. And it's sort of weirding me out.
Oh, he does.
Right?
Wow. Yeah. That's strange.
Right?
Oh, we'll chalk it up to makeup and awkward lighting.
Yeah, and the fact that it's...
Because Henry Cavill looks nothing like...
No, exactly. But there's just something about this angle, though. Really looks like you know, 1970s, 1980s John Travolta.
Yeah, John Travolta, like vintage, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, the
so there you have it.
There you have it, FirePods.
There you have it. FirePods, 2021, we'll be talking about EarthPods, I'm sure, because there's no chance the internet's going to let that go.
No, the internet always remembers.
Always remembers, and I'm always fascinated at the ability of mankind to put their power towards good and creation.
And sometimes
not. And sometimes
it's not for good.
No, it's definitely not for good sometimes. But anyway, that's our show.
That is our show.
It was not a very snappy hour, but it was a show.
A baker's hour.
A baker's hour.
A little bit of extra
that is,
in there.
Is that 13 hours? Oh, wait, no, that would be a baker's hours.
All right.
Might one extra. Okay,
we're
anyway,
really,
get me
we're
out.
Really, Craig. We're really ending this on a low energy note.
Craig. We had a. You're right. We should have ended when we did. Craig, take us out.
Wait,
Craig.
Hold on. No, before Craig takes us out, I don't remember what I said the last time, but we have 10 ratings. We'd love. Hey, for our 10th. Yeah, for our 10th episode. How apropos. So if you can get us to 11 or ideally more than that. Come next episode.
But only if they're 5-star.
Only if they're 5-star, yeah, because our feelings get hurt easily.
We're very fragile egos.
Yeah. And what else? Email us?
Email us at memorabiliapodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Send us your favorite memes. And honestly, if we've talked about one, so that was great that you had a user generated. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Send us some hot takes on memes that you have seen. Maybe we missed some. Maybe deeper than we did. Yeah, send us your deep cuts from things we've talked about or things you want us to talk about, and we will.
In the last episode, I talked about the latest review we got, written review, about being on the train. The person has since surfaced. They are not from the East Coast, as you and I had.
Whoa.
Predicted. It was from San Francisco, the city by the bay.
They have trains?
Yes.
They have trolleys.
They also have that.
The BART.
The BART.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Taking the old trolley to work.
Yeah.
Making me laugh out loud. Lol on the train.
Yeah. Makes her look like a crazy person.
Well, thank you for that wonderful review. Hopefully we can make you look crazy more again.
For many years to come.
Many, many.
Heaven forbid, huh?
Well, no matter what happens with this podcast, January 2021, we're coming back to do an EarthPod episode because I just want to make close the loop.
You're right. We do. This is going to be a year-long saga of us.
Building up to EarthPods 2021.
What is the conversation on EarthPod Watch? There was one other thing. We will have an episode the next week, probably to be published on that Tuesday since Monday is President's Day.
Is Monday President's Day?
It is.
What presidents are we supposed to, celebrate all presidents or just a few presidents?
Specifically, it is the presidents that's their birthdays. So I think.
Oh, Washington, Lincoln.
Those two I know for sure, but I think there might be like two others.
It's all their birthday?
There's like a few. Yeah. They all have like February birthdays. And so I guess just to be expedited.
Day.
Well, I think there's a few things, right? One. Ain't nobody got time to remember everybody's birthdays like that. Secondly, I think it's also because the government only wants so many paid government holidays and they're not just about to like give us like every Monday in February off or whatever. And so they were like, you know what? Let's save the money. Let's just.
Is this the U.S. heroic leaders equivalent of lumping office birthdays together for the month so that you save time and money?
Exactly. So you only have one sheet cake from Costco with a bunch of names on
birthdays
it.
George, Abe.
Yeah. And therefore you don't feel special at all.
Yeah.
Somebody already sliced the first letter out of your name because they got to the cake before you.
Yeah. Oh, this is getting dark. Okay. Get us out of here. Do you think people don't email us not just because they're not interested in us, but also because our name is hard to spell?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good chance that it's a combo of both. Yeah.
So I've come up with a phonetic pronunciation of our name.
Uh huh.
It's Mimi or Abelia podcast. Mm-hmm. So MEMEOR. Abelia, ABILIA, podcast@gmail.com. If you don't email us, now that I've spelled it phonetically, I have no choice but to assume it's because you don't like us, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, so if you want Chris to be sad, then I guess don't email us.
If you want some person you've never met and will never meet to be sad.
I do think 100% of our listeners know us personally. So if we really don't get any emails, true. That's going to be...
No, they know you personally. My dad is the only person. My wife doesn't even listen to podcasts.
I guilted Josh into listening to ours.
He's a great critic, though. Like, he gives really great
very
feedback.
Very actionable feedback, yeah.
Very insightful.
Very constructive.
Tell us how to improve. Yep. Give us one star and just tell us why.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Well, hey, Craig, get us out of here, yep. Craig.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.